Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night. It's going to be a good time here tonight. I can just feel it. I'm going to start bringing people in right now. Lou is should be connecting with me anytime right now. I know that the Celtic Rebel is working on a sponsorship deal, trying to get that finalized for the show tonight. So hopefully we'll be able to hear that new promo quite soon, and I'm sure it will be good. I have the utmost confidence in the Rebel's marketing abilities, and know he's going to secure some good funding for us with a reputable company selling a legitimate product that I'm sure all of you not only need but will want, will desire. Will crave. Lou, where the hell are you? This guy, whenever he starts drinking water, he just gets nuts. Can't even get a hold of him. All right, maybe he sent me a message now. For anybody out there who is listening in and wants to join in the party here at Unchained, you can call in 347-633-9600. 5-7, again, 347-633-9657. Just 2 hours ago, I concluded my own program over at Oracle Broadcasting. I had Delcroix and Breiser, two Irish gentlemen, come on the show. We talked about some issues related to Ireland, related to immigration, genocide, of a people, war on their culture, and things of that nature. We were brought in by Stiff Little Fingers, Alternative Ulster, which is it's an Irish band, Stiff Little Fingers. And I went out, and I picked up some Jameson, so I have a little Irish whiskey here. I will be getting into a little bit. I actually might prefer Scotch, but Jameson is rather smooth. Last Sunday, somebody had donated to me a couple dollars, a few dollars, to go out and get a bottle of whiskey for the Rebels show. But I actually couldn't find any stores that were open that were selling booze. So I had to get some beers from a bodega, a Mexican shop that was open selling some beer. Right now I'm in New York, and in New York they don't sell beer and liquor in the same store, which is really annoying. Not very convenient. So there is a chat room, renegadebroadcasting.chatango.com. See Steve Owisco, Ethel, Greg, Bread and Circus, Ceiling Cat, all in there. I believe Shawley's around as well. He might come on if he's able to get on the internet and get off his iPhone. Shawley, you're on an iPhone. You can call in. I just gave out the call-in numbers. IOX in there. Oakley's in there. A couple of Anons. Yeah, Ceiling Cat saying Jew York. It definitely is Jew York. Around me, as I'm not really staying in a very wealthy area, there aren't a whole lot of Jews, which is actually kind of nice. And I'm able to have a decent enough coexistence with the Mexicans, Arabs, Blacks, and who else? The Irish immigrants in this part of... to not give too much away, Queens. Decent mix of people. If you go down to certain parts of Brooklyn, then you really are in Jew York, as well as Manhattan. Other parts of Brooklyn, you are in some weird culture. I shouldn't even call it a culture. What is that? Where they put all the black people in poverty together. And it's just sad. Same thing is true of the Bronx as well. I think that's one of the South Bronx is one of the poorest places in the country. Funny thing is, when you're driving through, you see all these really nice cars lying the road. Not sure what that's all about. Maybe drug dealing and whatnot. I don't like cities. I like the countryside. But sometimes you make some sacrifices for things that you care about. And I am temporarily in a shitty. I am in the shitty. Let's see where the hell Lou is. I'm trying to get him on. I think I see Greg there in the chat room. So can try bringing Greg in as well. Hell, I could just talk to myself for a long time, but that really isn't the essence of Unchained, I don't think. Hey, I see Fetcho is green on Skype, meaning he's good to go, so I'm going to send him a message and see if he wants to come on board as well. Again, the Celtic Rebel will be joining us. He is... he's doing some business dealings and is about to secure us an amazing sponsor. So just wait for that. Greg.
Yo, yo, yo.
Greg, thank you for joining us here on Unchained.
Guten Tag.
No worries.
Oh, now Lou shows up.
Lou.
Hey, hey, hey.
How's the bracelet hanging?
It's still there. might be gone soon, though.
Yeah? Got any hearing coming up?
Well, they said maybe halfway through, and it's been that, so I got to call a lawyer.
Wait, so, Lou, they really gave you an ankle bracelet?
No, but they might as well have.
Okay. You've been chained.
Yeah, and...
You got to get unchained, man.
Lou is married to the system.
Yeah.
Isn't
everybody?
She ain't letting him out.
Isn't everybody that's married to the system?
Yeah, but yours won't let you out of the house beyond 100 feet.
Yeah, isn't that most marriages?
You know what? I think that there is a connection between martial law and marital law. And it's, you know, they're anagrams of each other, martial and marital. And then when you look at how much the state has been involved in, you know, marriage licenses and all that crap, seems to me that there's definitely something there. I think that the state wants to marry itself to as much things as possible. But it's one of those abusive relationships these days.
Yeah, the state's very abusive. What can we say?
A domineering partner of sorts.
Mm-hmm. She don't take shit. And she gives it out twice as much as she takes it.
You know, I'm not even sure if I'd call it a she, even though there are a lot of dykes in charge of important positions these days. There's an interesting image that I like. It's one of those cartoons. It shows the Statue of Liberty knocked over, you know, kind of crumbling to the side, and it's a Jew holding up a menorah in her place. Kind of makes me think that's what's really going on.
Yeah, you see the menorahs, ugh. My gosh.
Oy vey.
Oy vey. You know, you hear Charles Giuliani did a great show on it yesterday.
I caught a little bit of it.
North. Yeah, it was really, you know, I don't have time to know everything, you know. It's like, wow, it means that shit? Well, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, most of their holidays are very brutal. And very, well, they're based upon Jewish domination of other peoples.
Just, well, I knew it had something to do with the candle stayed lit for 8 days while they hunkered down and survived 8 days when they were supposed to die or something. I really didn't pay too much attention to it. I didn't really care.
I think it had something to do with the Maccabean uprising.
Mm-hmm. And Mel Gibson was going to do that movie about the Maccabees, right? And then got some conflict with the director or producer or something.
I hadn't heard of that. No.
Yeah. Well, you know what's kind of funny is I remember growing up always hearing, maybe it was from Jewish friends or from the media. I don't recall who exactly was saying this, but it was kind of common knowledge that, well, Hanukkah isn't really even one of the most important Jewish holidays at all. It's one of the, you know, one of the lesser important ones. And
mm-hmm. That's what I was always told. It's not really a big deal.
Right. Well, think about it, though, how much of a big deal they do make it so as to compete with the Christian or pagan, rather, holidays, because they are pagan at their root. And those are the parts that most people actually really enjoy as compared to the dead guy on a cross type of, where he's actually a baby in the manger in this.
Dead kike on a stick.
Oh, Lou.
I kind of felt it that way. It was sort of a competing thing, the dominant religion, whatever, for a long time. But I think in reality, they really don't care because they created Christianity.
Mm.
So really, what does it matter anyway? And they're the ones who built Christmas up to where it is today. We didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who commercialized it. They're the ones who find ways to make money and create business plans.
Well,
okay. So, but to see these menorahs now, after hearing Charles' show yesterday, a light bulb kind of went off. Like, it's about the candle blew out. It's not about that. It's about putting a symbol in people's face, basically saying "fuck you, you worship us."
Mm. Well, you think about what the logo of the Mossad is. It's the menorah. Right? Oh, this isn't an important holiday. It's even one of our important symbols. Yeah, we're just going to slap it on top of the Mossad.
I had to run out today to try to go to the store for something. And I saw probably about 5 or 6 of those giant menorahs today. I saw them on cars, in front of in businesses, on the rooftops of a shopping center. You gotta be kidding me.
I think oftentimes the goy want to show the people with money, the Jews, that they are friendly to the Jews. Oh, Jews, come on. Look, we celebrate you. Come spend your money here. Please, we're poor. We need some business.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to extract money from whoever, but still the Jews are pretty like, hey, we won't go over there. Is it owned by a Jew or a Goyim? A Goyim? Ah, sure. Yeah. They got to know you. And even then, they won't buy much.
You see that video I posted the other night? It was like Fat Jew tries to rob Arab store.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And he basically just goes in and he's like, oh, $3, I can't pay for that. And he walks out and he has a bunch of like wine bottles tucked in behind his school bag or whatever. And the owner like saw him, so he taped it. And he runs over and he kicks him in the ass a couple times, slaps him in the back of the head. It's hilarious. Post it again.
You know, my own personal experiences with Jews that I've known, gone to college with, they usually have a good amount of money, and they're willing to spend it somewhat flagrantly, except not on you, not for you. There's never a little extra for any of the goyim. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll ball out with each other to impress women. But don't expect any kind of reciprocal charity from them. Say you get them a drink. You know, you might not expect one back. They're very stingy with their money when they can be.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. Sometimes they could throw it around. You know, you ever been to like a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys. I mean, I've been where they've had them in Atlantic City. Yeah. And, I mean, throwing down easy 100, 150 grand on a bar mitzvah. Wow. You got to have some dough to do that.
Oy vey, you pass the bar. Go judge these Gentiles.
Yeah, when you work for them, you get invited to them, so you have to make good appearances, you know? But I used to have fun going down to them. I guess
yeah.
I was like four or five of them I've been to down there.
You know, the thing that I see is that they could be decent people if they were just raised a little bit differently. You know, nature and nurture, it's a combination of them both. So, sure, they do have the natural Jew tendencies. Okay, they're going to have a Jew fro. They might even talk a little whiny. It's just been in there for generations. But the, you know, if they're just given the proper nurture, if they were taken out of the corrupting influences of Judaic upbringing, and there are many different flavors of it, I think that they could honestly be productive and maybe positive forces within this world. And some have been over the years, a few. But it takes a good amount of independent thinking and real passion to break free from the structures that they have they've put in place. And one of those that, Greg, you've mentioned is, I believe it's called Nasira Law.
Masira Law.
Masira, with an M?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Masira Law was a guy that I worked with, told me about Masira Law, a Jewish guy that I worked with, Bear Stearns, actually, when I worked there. And he became a good friend of mine. He used to tell me about a lot of stuff, and he kind of had a conscience. But he told me that he could never speak out against it, you know, legitimately, like telling the truth about anything. And I was like, why not? He's like, because I get disowned by my family. I ain't doing that. And he learned that when he was in Hebrew school. So just they have a firm grip on it. So, you know, we could say some of them are nice, but they're all of them virtually are loyal to the tribe. So what do we do about that? They're human beings. Well, what can we do to overcome that mentality? That is a real, I think, important question of the ages.
Well, I don't think that we should emulate them in order to defeat them, because then you just, in essence, become them. But I would argue that perhaps...
You can't emulate them, because the only way to beat them is to be honorable and to demand honorable, you know, transparency and honorable business practices across the board again.
But I do think that...
You know, and enforce it.
The way that they view family as being important, the way that they view their nation, meaning their people, taking some pride in it. I don't know exactly pride for what. You know, they like to brag about certain things, but they're not actually honorable, as you were saying. But these are things that I think people of European ancestry and any kind of ancestry should do. They should have loyalty to their family, not to the point of not being able to speak out against injustices, but having those strong family ties, the natural bonds that form when children aren't stolen away from their parents, thrown in school, and then sat in front of a television. And also the kind of racial consciousness that comes out of having some kind of cohesive group to which you belong. I think that these are important things that they have in a very corrupted fashion that could potentially be applied to some of our groups and be a positive force for change.
Mm-hmm. It starts with us. It starts with ourselves. But we have to, I don't know. What are you trying to say, Kyle?
What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that they have obviously been promoting a different idea for the way other people, the Goyim, should live. And this includes all the different kinds of people, especially, you know, here in America. That's what I can speak to the best. But they really try to drive a lot of rifts in families, yet keep theirs very tight and cohesive. They want to destroy other people's culture and heritage, but they want to focus on their own very deeply. Jews know that they are Jews. They know about being Jews. They have an apparent or alleged connection thousands of years back, where most other people, let's say the blacks in America, to the Americans, as they're told, by the white man. So this is a couple of hundred years ago. A lot of the European immigrants to the United States have no idea who their ancestors are. There's no kind of roots for them. So they're kind of just rolling around like tumbleweeds.
Well, that's why I support people in Europe, okay, standing up, rising up and overthrowing the system and get back to logical immigration, particularly for those countries. For here, it wouldn't make sense, nor do I think it's feasible.
I do think that immigration could be curtailed for the time being, if not completely, to a large degree. Sort out the issues we currently have.
Well, I think as soon as we get a few, brave men, and it has to be brave men, that will get it going. I mean, something's going to happen, and there's going to be a trigger event. And when that trigger event hits, they had better hope they had reset this thing before that happens. You know.
Are you suggesting that there could be a sleeping giant that would be awoken if too much noise is made?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that people can change themselves first, because I don't think we're ready. You know, I just don't think there are enough people out there that understand that you can't, you know, criticize them and go to McDonald's and shove hamburgers in your face. They're eating tortured flesh. So they're not in a position where they can – they're not in honor. So how can dishonorable people make a claim of honor. They can't.
And look at how, like, America today isn't like 1930s Germany. Look at how just psychopathic they've made the American people. I mean, if there is a sort of uprising like you're talking about, it's not going to be pretty.
No. No, it's not in their interest to do that. I mean, it's probably in the interest of Shabbat Lubavitch, of course. Those guys are the sickos, you know? But not for the rest of the Jews. I don't think it would be in the interest of the people on the other side. Not the Mad Hatters.
Yeah, back in 2010, there was actually sort of a growing movement in Israel against Shabbat. And suddenly, a school that was cohabited by Shabbat and the regular Orthodoxy, the bomb blew up in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, killed some kids. So suddenly, they're like, oh, you need solidarity, and they're pushing all this, right? So these people are incredibly
Shabbat
insane.
Is ruthless. They are ruthless. Yeah, these are the ones that encourage the young over there to be so brutal towards Palestinians.
Yeah,
they're really zealous about that. We're, you know, teaching the young there to be really, really obnoxious. And that's why they're everywhere they go. They're just obnoxious people because their parents have taught them. And the parents in the schools there have been encouraged because they're so powerful. You know, you've seen the video there when they got when they're young, they attack people. You ever see any of the YouTube videos with the black hat guys walking around trying to beat the shit out of tourists?
Yeah, there's an interesting documentary called Defamation, done by an Israeli man who followed around I think it was a high school trip that went to visit the concentration camps in Poland. Mm-hmm. And these children are lied to left and right. They have this Mossad. A security agent who is telling them that there might be people who will come around and knock on all their doors and round them up when they're in the hotel rooms at night. They have a very paranoid view that permeates their culture from a very early age. These children are taught this Holocaust lie, and when you're on the victim side of that. I think that adds an incredible amount of psychological trauma that gets these children to grow into completely dysfunctional adults that don't have empathy and are psychologically...
I think as children they're taught that stuff, the fear side of it. But when they go through their bar mitzvah, part of it is their transition to manhood, is to tell them what Jewry is really all about. And that is the domination of the goyim.
Now, here's a question for both of you. What percentage of Jews living in the world today do you think actually know that the Holocaust, at least to a large degree, is fabricated?
I think most of them do.
Really?
Yeah.
Over 50% then?
Yeah, I would say probably.
Yeah, definitely.
More.
Well, they're told, like, all this other stuff, like they rule the world and all this. So, I mean, it's not too far-fetched to think that they tell them that, too. I mean,
I think
it's pretty easy to look it up.
They lie to themselves. They lie to people as a matter of a living, including themselves. Okay, but I think that most of them really feel, probably 90% of what they're told, you know, coming through the system is probably bullshit because somebody's making money off of it.
And
there's always somebody asking for a donation.
They like to feel smarter than the goyim. So when they have pulled one over on them, they probably are not too ashamed to admit it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if 50%. If that's the line, I don't know if I'd be on the over or under on that one. I think that could be less than that.
I'd say more.
Because
if you're halfway intelligent and you're going to be looking into it and talking about it all the time, I mean,
hey,
it doesn't take too long.
Remember
it's not hard to figure out.
You also have to remember one thing. Okay, they're on the winning team, and they know it. They're proud of it. So they'll brag with each other about it privately when they're amongst other Jews, but never in mixed company with the Goyim. You can imagine they're probably very, very excited at the fact that the level of power and control that they have. And this goes down to every single one of them in one way or another.
Do you think that this is the same within Israel? I feel like in some ways...
No, I think it's more extreme in Israel. In Israel, here they're told that they have to behave themselves. Okay, they could be obnoxious to a certain point, but you just can't go around and if you see an Arab person in the street, you just can't go up and start beating them over the head with a 2x4.
Right.
But over there, they can do it with impunity, and there's no, they're not arrested for it. Okay, there's no punishment for it. So they're acting really, it's just anarchy.
Well, the only group that could potentially say something to them or do something to them, theoretically, they're not going to, but it would be the UN, which is interesting how so many conspiracy theorists out there keep on, to this day, blaming the UN for everything. It's a UN power grab, it's UN, this, Agenda 21, that. So very much paying the UN as a bad guy, and I'm not a fan of the UN, but the UN has been critical of Israel in the past.
Well, it's a paper tiger because the U.S. can just veto anything they do.
Exactly.
And also it could just be Israel, which is, I mean, look, they were set up, the U.N. was set up by the Jews. It was set up with Jewish money, Jewish power, Jewish influence. It was all run by Jews.
Oy vey, so, we got the U.N. and now we got Israel. It's a great world.
Yeah,
right.
So
when
the
U.N. is critical.
The guy that actually has control of it is a Jew. I forget his actual title.
When the UN is critical, yeah. When the UN is critical of Israel, I kind of say they're trying to create some duality or something here.
Well, it's the UN.
What's the inversion,
just,
Lou?
Well, it's like it's just heads of state that are doing this, right? And heads of state have certain powers to lob things out there. So you're going to have that anyway, but it's set up so they can't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, that if they want something to pass, they can let it through. It's sort of a filter.
So, truth
anyway,
well, yeah,
Kyle,
truth.
I wanted to say your show. I unfortunately was getting phone calls and I had a friend stop by, so I got to go check it out. But from what I heard, it was great. Those guys, I hadn't heard them before.
Oh yeah, thanks. I like talking to Irish people, and the accent is pleasant to, in my opinion. And if you can understand it, they had a lot to convey. Ireland's an interesting situation, always has been, and it's kind of a tragedy what's going on there today. Not kind of, it definitely is.
I'd like to see, that's one place I think I'd like to see, it could justifiably, in the eyes of the world, have an uprising.
Yeah.
And probably be successful at it. It would be the start of, because the whole world's come into the reality that it's the juice. You know, it is happening, so... Maybe that's why we're getting all these crazy things like with the shootings and all that.
Now, well, if they do,
distraction.
Well, if they do, then Scotland could. And then England is kind of pushed into a corner. And then that could really help out. And you got Greece. Spain is close. A couple others. I'd like to see Germany go at her again. But I think the second they did that, they'd fucking nuke the place.
Well, we'd have to see. I don't think it has to be like I said, on a military side. It just is people saying no, and you can't do any damn thing about it. You know? They are right. That's why they took their guns away.
Oh, yeah. You're not allowed to really have guns in the British Isles in general.
Well, you know what that's from, right? A school shooting, like a kindergarten school shooting, Dunblane. Same in Australia with the
same MO. They're just, you know, it works over there. They're trying to bring it here now to a degree. But will it work here? No, it's not going to work here. I don't believe it's going to do it. You know, too many people here know these things are, they're so full of shit. I couldn't even watch the news yesterday.
Yeah, in America, it's just more of a dehumanization.
I don't own a gun, but if I did, I'd say, from my cold, dead hands.
No, they don't want to downplay the murder culture in America, because that suits them very well.
It you know what? Gun sales have been awesome since Obama got in office, and all the conspiracy theorists out there are saying, he's coming for your guns. And, you know, they had a reason for it. Rahm had given some talks a few years before he was with Obama in the White House, and then had the rules changed to be mayor of the meatpacking industry. He had actually given some talks saying that he'd like compulsory service for all youth in America, much like Israel, and that gun control is very important, and that basically, you know, he was very much for this agenda of taking away Americans' guns. America's guns, rather. There is something to support this idea, but the sale of weapons in the United States is, I mean, already, even if they cut off weapon sales, the amount of weapons that Americans own privately is quite large.
Yeah. What do they say if they...
You can print guns now with 3D printers, I mean.
That's a good point.
So I mean, it's not, you know, and they're better.
And there will always be a black market for those weapons for criminals, and there will also always be a bunch of young boys who are given weapons by the state. So,
oh yeah, they'll always keep the gun violence up. It serves their purpose so well, you know. Great distractions. So they may not come for the guns. They'll pass them really thing, but they might use it to go after certain people. And you don't want to get caught in the middle of that side of it. So, but then again, what do we say? You know, I think the end's coming soon, a couple of years at the most.
Now, what do you think about all these different governmental organizations buying up all this ammo? You know, the hollow tip bullets. And all the other stories that have been coming out from pretty much the InfoWars camp about how the U.S. government, their internal branches, are arming up to the teeth.
Well, they do that all the time. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to just go out and buy a box of bullets every week. I mean, they'll buy in bulk for a couple of years. The fact that a hollow tip is kind of weird, but...
Who knows if it's even true? Who knows if it's even true?
Yeah,
I mean that they put out bullshit stories on the evening news just so that people like Alex Jones can pick up, and that runs through the alternative media. And Alex Jones gives the validity because this was on ABC News. ABC News may have ran the story once, okay, and if that was true, they really would be forced to run it again, and they would have to be – there'd be an outcry.
Now,
here's – once, and they don't talk about it again, and people are still – within 3 days, if it's not talked about again, they forget it.
Now, here's the thing. It's a waste of money to give – to buy all of this ammunition and the weapons for these different branches that shouldn't have any policing power. But think if you were just to give some of the schleps that work in these kind of lower-level government agencies the task of going out with weapons to try to do something to the American population.
As soon as somebody lost a kid, like relatively, like the wrong kid got killed, I'm talking just the black kid, but middle-class kid in the white neighborhood kind of thing, right? That's going to say, like, what the fuck is going on here?
It should have already been like that, though. People should have already started questioning that with the different things that the military and the police are doing. But then when it's just some other bureaucratic agency, yeah, I think you're right.
I think tension, see, this is the point that a lot of people don't understand. The economic tension out there amongst people is really high. people are on edge and have been on edge for the last several years and are even more nervous now, particularly about like the Obama tax hikes with the Obamacare. Okay, so they're on the verge of getting really pissed off right now. And now when it becomes a reality, some of these things, they have to deal with these problems, they're going to be very easy to put. There's going to be a point where there's going to be no turning back for them. You know, and that's when the light bulb will go off in their head. Ah, it's the freaking Jews. Now, and that's when it's going to be bad for the Jews.
You know what I've noticed is really pissing people off is Obamacare. What do you think is going to end up happening?
And can I also say one other thing?
Sure,
before we get into Obamacare?
Yeah.
You know, all these people in the conspiracy industry always talk about how American people are lethargic and are lazy and are this and that, and they just don't do anything about anything. I don't know if that's the truth. Okay? I know within my circle of friends, the people that I know and that I talk to, everybody's pretty pissed off about what's going on. They're just, it's always come back for them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they're waiting for it to come back again because they've always believed that it did. And so they're scared, and why buck the system if the system might turn around and come back again?
Oh, right. You want the business cycle to just
yeah.
come back around.
You're waiting for the business cycle to catch up again. So this is your mind frame going in. Okay, but they're like, okay, it's going to come next year. It doesn't happen. It was supposed to happen in 2010. It didn't happen. Didn't happen in 2011. Didn't happen in 2012. It doesn't happen in 2013, and people's nerves are going to be really frayed by this time next year if there isn't some sort of uptick, because it's not happening. I mean, these kids coming out of college, where they're not getting the jobs. It's just not out there right now.
And you said, you know, as of next year, which is when Obamacare will really take full effect.
Right. So I think the combination of having to suffer and endure another shitty year where very few people become very prosperous. Okay, they've benefited and there's nothing wrong with people benefiting and prospering in bad times, but for the average person that's dependent upon a salary, okay, or somebody who isn't entrepreneurial or doesn't have the right connections to the right people who are, that can fit and belong to a part of a team. Those people are looking at a very, very daunting future right now.
And the way I see the media playing the disgruntled nature of the American populace right now, and probably around the world, but I'm going to speak specifically to the American populace, is that they're trying to convince the middle class that it is the poor class that has stolen their money through, or the minorities, which have stolen their money through different tax schemes and socialism. And they're trying to convince the poor class that it's the middle.
Which is total bullshit.
Right, right. But they're trying to convince the poor class that it's the middle class who they're supposed to view as the elites, this is kind of the white America. They're supposed to view them as the people who have basically been oppressing them, who have been given all of this privilege. And they're trying to turn the bottom of the barrel against the middle of the middle class. And I don't mean to be disparaging with the bottom of the barrel, but the lower classes are being fed a lot of propaganda about how they need to take out the people basically just above them because they're the ones who have been ruining their lives, when in reality, if the middle class would just realize that no matter how much the people below them have been siphoning off from different tax money programs, welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, EBT, all of this stuff, which can get fairly annoying, but people are doing this to survive, and it is a hard economic time out there. They realize that this amount of money is nothing compared to the trillions and trillions and trillions that were given to Jewish banks in the bailouts. These guys weren't starving, and yet they got trillions of dollars while people in the United States are suffering. And I think that this is very much a point where people could and should be united in their opposition to the destruction that is going on. But the problem is that when some people are still benefiting from the state, suckling off that teat, they'd rather not bite it. They'd rather just keep being able to get...
Well, we're talking about the end of that coming soon.
Well, that's okay. What it's for. It's anything but the Jews. That's why these programs are all set up. Another thing with Obamacare is to get the races against each other and probably to get people doped up so they'll walk in with a stub foot and they'll crank them full of Zoloft and morphine.
All right, I'm stubbing my toe and going to get some morphine. All right, sir, you need to smoke opium now. Okay, doctor.
Hey, guys, I got to take a break for 5 minutes. I got to get some, take care of something. So I'll be right back, or if you want to take a break, play some music, or...
All right, Rebel, good, Greg.
Rebel, you're going to get that, close that deal, damn it.
I think he did close it. He says he was just eating, and now he's telling Metro Bob to say some things in the chat, I think. But hopefully he'll be on soon. Okay. I think that this Metro Bob and the Celtic Rebel, they're probably cousins or related somehow. I don't know.
There's got to be duality in there somewhere.
Something. All right, Greg, we'll talk to you in just a bit. Lou, you want to stick around for a second while I look for some quick songs to play, and then maybe let's give out the call-in numbers again. Got 347-633-9657. Again, that's 347-633-9657. And there's a chat room, renegadebroadcasting.chatango.com. Lou, any thoughts on what was just being said there?
Oh, yeah, and you can just hit the Skype button on the main page there as well.
Correct.
Well, it's all part of the plan. I mean, they seem to be amping up this program where it's anything but the Jews type of thing. All distractions, trying to turn people against each other.
Hey, Lou, what's this Death and Taxes song? Is this one you uploaded?
Yeah. Stanfield.
I don't know who that is. Is it a good song?
All right.
We got a call, but maybe we'll go to that after. I meant the song after. Let's take this call. We got a 713 area code on the line. Hello, caller. What's your name?
This is David in Texas.
Hey. David in Texas.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man.
Pretty well.
Now, I just thought I would comment on some of the things you were just talking about. I missed the first part of the show, but I've caught the last 15 or 20 minutes there. You were talking about the American people and being sluggish, slow to react. There's a quote that I thought that I might read to you that would, I think, actually applies. I'm going to give you some background on this quote. Sam Houston was governor of the state of Texas at the time that the Confederacy, the first seven states of the Confederacy formed, and he was against secession. And as a result, the office of governor was declared vacant, and he was essentially removed from office. And after leaving the governor's mansion, he traveled to Galveston. Along the way, many people demanded an explanation for his refusal to support the Confederacy. And he had told some people from a hotel window, let me read this quote to you. The last part of the quote applies, but I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, "Let me tell you what is coming. After the sacrifice of countless millions of treasure and hundreds of thousands of lives, you may win Southern independence if God not be against you, but I doubt it. I tell you that while I believe with you in the doctrine of states' rights, the North is determined to preserve this union. They are not a fiery, impulsive people as you are, for they live in colder climates." And this is the interesting part of this quote. "But when they begin to move in a given direction, they move with the steady momentum and the perseverance of a mighty avalanche. And what I fear is they will overwhelm the South." So I think you can kind of apply that same theory to the American people as a whole today. Once something gets going, once it starts, it's going to go. Okay?
I think that's definitely very applicable. And I agree with you. I think that even if some of the agents out there are doing things to misdirect people, that the groundswell is already such that the big wave, the wave is coming, I'd say.
Well, I think they keep tabs on what's going on in the people like us, and I think they have some general idea. The big issue is how they're going to handle it. You know, you guys were talking about the Homeland Security making this large purchase of ammunition, and of course, you know, like you said, who knows whether it's true or not. But let's presume that they did buy all this ammo. Well, we don't really know where that's going. They could have sold it, half of it, to another country. You know, so it's hard to say how it is they're going to react. But I think what the key is that's for most of us, the average person who lives from paycheck to paycheck, is what's really going to happen when this Obamacare tax kicks in. There's something I believe in it that requires that if an employer has you work more than 29 and a half hours, they have to provide this insurance for you. And as a result, many companies are just going to put people on short hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are they going to pay their bills and then have to pay this tax for health insurance at the same time? They're just not going to be able to do it. Yeah,
that's already happening.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to lose their homes. I mean, they're not going to be able to feed themselves, much less do anything else. You know, and we're already to the point where just going to a movie is almost a luxury. So people are going to get fed up pretty quick. And also, too, no one's going to see a return on their money for, what, several years? You start paying on this, and then it takes, what, 2 or 3 years before you even see any health service out of it? So what? I'm going to pay for something in the future? What if I don't even live? What makes anybody think I'm going to pay for that? I ain't paying shit. Okay? That's my opinion on the matter.
They probably try to stick your relatives with a bill.
Who knows what they'll try to do, but I'm going to do my damnedest and I have to pay a damn thing. So I'm just going to refuse to cooperate. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are like me.
I think it's actually going to radicalize a lot of people. Say, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Screw these guys. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like I think a lot of people are just going to adopt the attitude I just described. You know, it's why should anyone cooperate with what is perceived to be tyranny? There's a lot of people who are going to just wake up and say, what's wrong? What's going on here? You know, they've been asleep for a long time, and they've seen things creeping up, and they really haven't paid a whole lot of attention. It's been in the back of their head, but they just thought, well, I'll worry about it later. I'll get there worry about it when the time comes.
Now,
the time's going to come pretty soon.
At the very same time, though, I think that with the amount of money that has been taxed from the American people, perhaps there should be some kind of nationalistic type of medicine, or socialistic or national socialist type of medicine in which people do have a base level of coverage. But they would not be required through a tax or a penalty to purchase a plan from an insurance company. You just would have to, or I'd want to, rather, do away with those insurance companies, and you'd be saving everyone a lot of grief and time and money.
Well, the insurance companies are owned by the banks. So,
right.
You know,
so I'd also be going after them. Yeah, I'd be going after them as well. So.
Well, you could probably cure everyone of being treated for 1% of the money that they're already spending.
Right. You'd also have to go after the pharmacological industry.
Well, you know, I like your point, you know, and I agree. It would be nice if we did have something that was in place that was good and you had some sort of an option. The point being is that they're forcing you to do something. You know,
right.
Let me give you an example in Texas. If you drive in Texas, you have to have a minimum level of liability insurance. Now, at one point, They didn't have that at all. It was just required that you be able to demonstrate that you could provide the financial ability to cover if you did get in an accident. And then it got to a point where they just went ahead and just made it a law that you have to buy up insurance. Well, here's the deal. There's nothing that says that you have to pay it because you can choose not to drive. Now, of course, that's a bunch of crap. Let me see you get anywhere in Texas without driving. But the point is that...
You see horses down there, no?
You know how many times I've been on a horse in my life?
How many?
Probably about 3 times.
Right.
No, but see, they're forcing us to make this purchase, and we don't have an option. That's a huge difference right there.
And it basically, at the very essence, insurance is gambling.
Sure, it is. Theoretically, you should have a religious right to not be forced to have to gamble.
Yeah, when you are purchasing an electronic device from one of these stores and they try to sell you on the insurance on the product, the reason they're doing so is that the house always wins.
They always win. Yeah.
It's a gambling racket. And then when you force people into doing so, that is basically just saying you have to come to my casino.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're the only game in town.
Right.
But, you know, I think at some point the American people are going to get fed up. And now what exactly will happen, who knows? What is going to be the trigger, who knows? Now, another thing to consider, too, is that you have to look at the proportion of the population that is sucking on the teat of the country right now versus the other proportion who is perceived to be paying for that, and in some ways they are. Where does your tax money go ultimately? If it's income tax, it goes as payments to the bankers for interest on the debt. But most people believe that their income tax is actually spent on such things, and so they are tricked into believing that they're paying for these services that the poor receive for nothing. And so this is an illusion that's been created on purpose. And the point is that they eventually want to be able to divide us, and then somehow in that divide they will conquer us. Now, what their actual plan is, who knows? But when you get enough people who are pissed off that are thinking that they're paying for all of these services for all of these poor, underprivileged people and or lazy asses who just refuse to do anything but just pop out babies and collect money from the government, well, then you're going to have a huge divide amongst these people. How that will work out, I don't know.
Right. I think that one of the keys should be to ensure that violent tendencies of people are not directed towards those who are not responsible for the current system we're all suffering within.
Well, like you said earlier, you know, it's perceived that that middle-class whitey is the elite. And so we are already targets, even in people like you and I. And I personally, I'm not even middle-class. I mean, I'm not low-class, but I don't consider myself middle-class either.
I am rather poor these days. I've never considered myself any of these kind of class distinctions, really. But, no, I don't make a lot of money.
Well, if you've been paying attention lately, they've actually started using the phrase class. They've omitted that in the past.
It's
just
class
upper level
now. That's what they keep on trying to enforce upon us, is this class warfare. Some people don't even want a whole lot of money. They just want to be left alone. They should be left alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, what if they think the shit's going to hit the fan, so they'll just start airing all the black-on-white crime or Mexican-on-white crime and all these things on the news, which they don't already. I mean, that could set something like that off.
Well, if they were to tell the truth about black-on-white crime, then a whole lot of white people will start getting pissed off. I mean, there are websites totally dedicated to the unreported news that are about minorities committing crime on white people.
Dave,
you know,
Have you seen the trailer for this Django Unchained or the SNL clip of Jamie Foxx saying that it's great that he gets to kill white people in
the movie? No, I haven't.
Yeah, so it's a Quentin Tarantino film. It's basically a black revenge comedy, action thriller involving a black man killing a lot of white people and loving it because he gets paid to do so as well.
Well, I think a whole lot of white people will go see it and laugh.
That's true, and it's very sad.
Unfortunately.
I think we have the Celtic Rebel with us here at the start of the second hour. Alex, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I am here.
You've been listening to the show thus far?
On and off. I was in the middle of something. I think you must have told the audience that I was negotiating the first official sponsor of Renegade Broadcasting, which is really exciting.
Now, I've been kept in the dark about this. David, anything else you wanted to add, or do you want to just stay on the air with us?
I'll stay on for a little bit. I wasn't planning on staying on the whole time, but I just wanted
hang
to
out
contribute.
With
Dave. I'll stay for a little bit. It's just I've got
you don't
stuff
have
to
leave
do,
with Mike out.
No. That's not it. It's just I've got stuff to do, and I've got to get up early to do it, so I can't
David
be up too
David is leaving
tonight.
Because the rebel is the devil. He doesn't want to associate himself with the devil.
No, that wouldn't be David who's scared of the devil there.
Everybody's scared of the devil.
everybody's afraid of the Celtic devil.
All right. I'll leave you... I'll leave you unmuted, so if you do want to chime in with anything, feel free to do so. But otherwise, you can just drop off when you'd like to, okay?
All righty.
All right, Alex. So
when you're going through the freezer.
So you sealed this deal. Are we going to be rich and famous and taking a tour bus around to what's going on here?
I wouldn't go that far. We got a sponsor. We got our first official sponsor. I had to negotiate. They're Jews, so... they didn't want to pay any money. That was the original deal was they sponsor us, and they give us nothing. Actually, originally it was we pay them and they sponsor us. But that's just you got to start in the red with the Jews before you can get to the black. So
now,
you
didn't try to put Lou into the package deal, did you?
Well, since we lost somebody whose name sounds rhymes with Lou, who was supposed to be the guy that took it up the ass to advance all of our careers, since he's gone, I guess it might be Lou. I didn't think about that. I just basically accepted very little money for it.
No, you could just basically still say it's Drew. just tell him to wear like a wrestling speedo.
Somebody wants to do business. Otherwise, like I said, I got very little money out of it, but we do have our first official sponsor. Great company, a Jew company, but they make a great product.
Okay.
Which I think many of our listeners, actually, when they, we're not going to push anything that people don't need. I think there's lots of people out there listening who actually could use this product versus we're not going to push storable food because we've already talked about that. Hey, what good is that going to do when the shit hits the fan, if the shit hits the fan? But this is something I think everybody can use. I stand behind this product.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people purchased and love the shrimp gun. That was a big hit. So I'm hoping this is of that kind of caliber.
I think it is of a comparable caliber. I think a lot of people will be very excited by this product. And I ironed out the details, and I managed to put together an idea, to give them like an idea of like because they're too lazy. They want me to make the ad as well, so I had to I was involved in the making of the ad as well.
All right, well let's run it by the crew and the people over at Renegade Broadcasting. Chatango can chime in as well. So they think this is a good fit. This Jewish company that's going to be sponsoring us. Hello?
Yeah, are you going to – did you want me to play it or
– you didn't even tell me what it was listed as.
Oh, it's in there. It's look under lenders. You want me to hit play? I can do it from here as well.
I'd have to refresh. Oh. You can play it if you're in there.
You just got out of bed. It's time for the Jew Hate to begin.
Bob Tuscan left. It's kind of old. You guys have done it for so long. It's stupid. A lot of it's just and heckles and cockles and blaming other people. It's kind of so I'm calling in.
Your favorite program is over, and now it's time to become the Keyboard Warrior.
Yeah, he's right. You guys need to get serious. I'm tired of this tomfoolery and scary.
There's still 18 hours left in the day for you to harass everyone that you can and help fight the New World Order from your couch.
We have a serious problem in America today. A very serious, serious problem. It can't be joked about like your Celtic Rebel and Mike Sledge do all the time. It's not a funny issue. It's not funny.
You're not just a troll. You're the best troll you can be.
You know, if I don't go to your chat room or don't listen to your show or whatever, you guys don't get it. You just hang up the phone on me and whatever. I don't really care. I know your material. I know your show, and I listen to you guys. So funny that you guys can make fun of everybody else, everything, this homosexual bullshit game. It's really not. You guys, you know, I give my hats off to you. You guys are doing a good job, and you're awesome. Keep up the great work.
You haven't even mastered the English language yet, but everybody knows that grammar and spelling are for fags.
I wouldn't have to listen to the drunk, incoherent psychobabble of this shitbag fucking faggot you got on now.
You spend all day obsessing over other men and are convinced that everybody except you is a fag.
You guys are doing a great job, and I just wanted to call in and say that some guy who calls himself the Celtic Rebel, who's neither Celtic nor a rebel, banning me, it drives me nuts.
You've got your laptop. You've got your Mountain Dew. You've got your lotion handy and your pants around your knees. Let the trolling begin.
Yes. I think the last caller, I think she's just mad about this Celtic Rebel character that keeps following you homos around in your chat room.
But trolling all day and obsessing over other men with your pants around your knees does have its drawbacks.
Bad chat room! I just went in there to find out what's going on in the truth in Israel, and there's this Mr. Bob fella posting naughty gay pics, and this fella named Kyle Hunt posting naughty gay pics. I clicked on one of them pictures, and guess what happened? I came in my pants!
How do I get these semen stains out of my husband's t-shirts and underwear?
With the new Linder Semen Stain Removal Stick.
So I was in your chat room earlier, and just a little while ago, actually, noticing how you put down women,
and how you think it's real funny to promote your gay Jewish porn bullshit. It is a lady. How are you?
Linder's stain removal stick will remove those naughty semen stains that go hand in hand with trolling. No pun intended.
I get tired of the esoteric bullshit, and basically the only reason I called was because some fucking fag in the goddamn fucking chat room keeps fucking banning me every time I say he's fucking fag.
Linder's semen stain removal stick will remove those nasty stains for good.
You're supposed to be promoting national socialism, and I think that that's what your show is supposed to be promoting. You're supposed to be promoting women's tits and the milk that comes from their tits. I'm not a moron.
Linder's stain removal stick comes in a handy 6-inch variety to help rub out those tough stains.
Man, fuck you, Eddie. You should go kill yourself, motherfucker.
Really dedicated trolls, it comes in a 9-inch variety. Cause you know you need those extra 3 inches if you're gonna bust that rabbit hole wide open and find out just how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Try to be better, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to be good. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself.
You're not just a troll. You're the best troll you can be. And now with Linder's semen stain removal stick, no one outside of your own house will know.
Ban those motherfuckers in a second. It is a lady. How are you?
How much would such an amazing product cost?
All for only $99.99, or just 3 easy payments of only $33.33, plus shipping and handling.
No way!
Why are we doing this? Are we crazy? Maybe.
That's amazing!
There's this guy, he's called Metro Bob, and I know who it is, posting his gay pics.
I noticed when he's in the chat room, Kelsey Gremmel's not. When Kelsey Gremmel's in the chat room, he is retro, except for one time.
Linder's semen stain removal stick will remove those nasty stains for good.
You're a piece of shit. Shut up.
Because anonymity is required for the best trolling, and you can't be anonymous if everybody can see your semen stains on the bottom of your shirts when you go out in public.
Do not interrupt me. It is a lady. How are you?
Ejaculating sperm.
And I know who it is.
That's amazing!
You guys should just look in the mirror and realize that all you are a dirty, fucking, filthy hypocrite. It is a lady. How are you?
Linder's semen stain removal stick will remove those nasty stains for good.
That's amazing!
Wow, that was long
and hilarious.
And hilarious. I almost got some beer coming out my nose during part of that.
That could be a show in itself.
There were some clips that I just had a hard time finding. I know I could have. I saw somebody in the chat room saying, "I can't believe you left a certain person out." I just didn't know where to find it.
It's really hard going through all of the archives of radio that we've all done on random dates.
Too bad we couldn't get Russell with that Glee call.
Yeah, I was.
We couldn't find that. Yeah.
I was trying to find that actually.
I think I missed this originally, so.
I think it was back in September, but I'm not sure of the date. It was a Friday night, but I didn't go back and listen today to find out.
Russ did make it in there, didn't he? He was there somewhere, wasn't he?
No, I didn't get any. I didn't get Russ in there.
Was Richard in there?
No, I didn't get him. No. He doesn't usually do anything other than, he just promotes Jew bullshit, but he doesn't really get all worked up.
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, one time he got worked up with you.
Oh, are you going to the Unleashed shows?
Yeah, he got worked up with you on Unleashed.
He might be a legitimate guy who just feels very strongly in the way he does. Because, I don't know, he does like to push the paleo diet a lot, but...
I think he's a guy who has not amounted to much in his life. What does he work as a security guard in prison? Or something like that?
I have no idea.
Who thinks he's really smart... but was never accepted, probably because he has a really small dick.
That's kind of harsh. Whoa.
Greg is unchained tonight.
Wow. Then again, I just made that, and I'm like, that's kind of harsh, Greg. You're mean. All right. I'll have you know we have ladies present, okay? They don't need to hear such talk.
You know? Instead of, just being proud of the fact that he's got a little freaking small penis and can't get laid, that's... He doesn't want to have conversations. He wants to dictate and, be the, I'm the teacher here. I'm older. Get the hell out of here.
He does seem to have an agenda. And what I think it's not necessarily an agenda he's getting paid for. I think it's like whatever his latest thing is, he's going to call in every single show out there and talk about it.
Yeah.
Even the stupid paleo diet bullshit. It's Mike Sledge can tell you more than I can about it. It's the repackaged Atkins diet. That's all it is.
Yep. Now it sounds more paleo, right?
Yeah.
Hey, well, prehistoric. Well, it's to get back to the basics, man.
The thing is, he was calling into almost every show on Oracle, trying to bring this up, even if it wasn't relevant.
I don't know about you guys. When I think of the paleo diet, I think of Brontosaurus chops.
Yeah, it's the paleo diet, Leo Goldstein.
Yeah, it's Jurassic Park. Where are they shooting the dinosaurs? What's up with that?
It's like the Flintstones, right? He has the Bronto Burgers.
Bronto Burgers, yeah.
All right, we're going to eat reptiles from now on.
Yep. Brontosaurus Burgers. Yabba dabba doo.
Well, I think there's definitely a market for Lender's semen stain removal stick out there. I think there's a big market
definitely.
For it.
I think it's going to serve more functions than originally advertised with the 6 and 9 inch varieties. I'm guessing that the cap that goes on the semen stick removal device resembles something, perhaps.
It's a Dan Dix extender.
Now with a Dan Dix extender.
In retractable varieties as well. Push button Dan Dix retractor. Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Aaron Dykes is using
that a rough.
Yeah.
So what's our agenda tonight? By the way, still working on a mission statement for the network. I haven't had the time to come up with one.
Well, damn it, Rebel.
What have we been talking about? We've been talking about class warfare a little bit earlier. We were talking about things are getting the average person pissed off. How much of it is engineered? How much of it is also this the stuff they're trying to scare us with? Some of the different racial elements. I know in your last show, Alex, you had mentioned that you might be talking about some racial issues coming up on your show.
Yeah, I'm doing a show tomorrow for the black guys. And the black girls.
For the brothers and the sisters.
Exactly. That's what my show tomorrow is going to be geared towards.
You're not going to have a Negro Bob, are you?
Black Bob? Black Bart?
Brother Bob.
Brother Bob, yeah.
Brother Bob. Deacon Bob, that's it.
No, that would be very offensive. Although it shouldn't be, you know, I can do Jew Bob, and I can do any other Bob, but you know, you touch on that black thing in America, it's not, you know, it's going to get people angry, whether or not, you know.
Needless. You could do it in a cool way, like a Louis Farrakhan way, and you'd just be like this like street preacher type of guy, and he's like all cool and shit. That might work.
Now, I could always do the safe thing every time somebody does want to talk about black issues, you know, because we've been so conditioned with the white guilt, we're kind of afraid to talk about it. Where I could bring on a black guy. It's like, hey, I got a black guy next to me, so I can say the word nigger now. See, I have a black friend.
Just have him on call and just like press the button. You're like, yeah, black guy, and be like, hello. Anyway.
What you talking about there, Rebel?
It's like, I
my nigga.
Everything
my
the Celtic
nigga.
Rebel says.
Don't make me come down there and hunt you down, old motherfucker.
So I've seen the black people that listen to my show. I mean, first of all, they're an intelligent lot. And, you know, I've never gotten any complaints from them when I have touched an issue in the past. Actually, a lot of praise, especially coming from black women, because this is some of the stuff I've addressed. I'm thinking back to my social engineering podcast, but a couple of the shows I've done. They need to be said, and, well, you know, there's not many black people out there talking about them, and white people are afraid to.
Well, I bring a unique perspective to that, though, Rebel.
Because you like the black pussy?
Oh, yeah. I deal with them all the time. I talk to them all the time. It's cool. You know? I've met a lot of great black people, and I've talked with them all about this, and we get along great.
All right, all you sisters listening, Greg will lick the pussy. All right, his
put
phone's
a
gonna
shine start, on that apple, damn it.
His phone's gonna light up like a switchboard now.
God damn.
347-633-9657. Light it up. you know, here's the thing about racial mixing. I think that it's fine. One of the problems is that white people are having, European people, let's say, are having so few children compared to the other demographics of the world.
Yeah, I agree that we got to change that.
And it'd be great to incentivize or promote these people to have some kind of race consciousness and at least want to see their people not just survive in the future, but also flourish.
I think what we can do, the best thing that we're doing, is we're encouraging men to become alphas. Because it's something that you can learn to do.
Well, then,
and it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Then they could potentially have some white children, and if they felt so inclined, they could also have a child with whoever
they want. Because
right.
we can do that here. Okay.
I've got no problem with race mixing. I think people know that. And I guess, you know, the white separatist crew that can't stand me attacks me for that issue. But I don't believe in the promotion of it. And if there was a promotion of it, you know, because I understand, look, if you get up to a high enough position, you do want to influence society. You do want to end certain things that may be perceived as unfair. And even like the idea behind affirmative action was not a horrible idea in some places. But, it's all well-meaning people. So, yeah, you know, maybe we should be integrating our culture somewhat. But there's another side of that, which is, well, the forced integration that's taking place, and the forced is via the mental boxes that people are confined to right now. What's being sold and what has been sold is, white women, you want a black guy. And what's going on out there? Because they had already socially engineered the black guys to not be fathers. So you got a bunch of white women running around with mixed babies, and all this serves is the state. It doesn't better anyone. It doesn't better blacks. It doesn't better whites. It doesn't better anyone, because these kids are going to grow up watching television because their mother's going to have to work by herself because the fathers aren't around. And, you know, where I don't know. It's actually the
black,
you know,
people have to encourage. We have to start with the view the black people that do come with us, like the black listeners that you have, Rebel. They need to be alphas and teach their children and people around them, other men around them, to be alphas as well. And alphas understand this message totally. You know?
Good point.
Well, black men were alphas before the goddamn,
right.
What do you call it, welfare program started.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they're...
And they would like to be alphas again, believe me.
Well, now their view of alpha, the one that's sold to these white women, is that of the thug gangster who has all his boys, meaning he's pretty much a beta gang male.
Everybody has to alpha up. All the males of all the races have to alpha up.
Yep.
And I think when that happens, there'll be less of the mixing, because in reality, I think that if you're going to have children, it should be within your own race. But there's no law that should be says that you can't have it mixed. You know, sometimes mixing is good.
Yeah, let these things work themselves out.
Beautiful children.
Let these things work themselves out naturally. Get the Jews out of the equation.
Yeah.
But that also would have to deal with the financial incentives as well. Whereas for, you know, for some parts of society, it means that white people are much less likely to have children because it's a financial burden. Whereas on other parts of society, and this also, I mean, there are white people this applies to as well, they are encouraged to have more children because they're single, they can't afford to, so they get more money
right.
when they have more children.
So they can't afford to.
Then it basically enables them to have more because this is a source of them being able to sustain themselves and their children. So to kind of discuss these kind of issues when you have one type of people really being discouraged from having children, and this includes the mind programming of Sex and the City about the professional liberated women and what that actually entails, meaning liberated from motherhood, we've got a pretty difficult situation on our hands if we don't want to see the European people really be completely displaced and crowded out of the world in the near future.
Yeah, and when you have a situation where, especially in a society that was once segregated, where you have white people having money and living comfortably and black people living below poverty, what you're going to see is poor people have more babies. And that's – when you have the luxury of wealth and an upper-class existence, creating children is not one of your priorities. And it also is less likely to happen by accident. I mean, you see in any industrialized country, what happens is they start hitting a point where the wealthier the country gets, the more the birth rate drops.
Well, they also promote birth control to 12-year-old girls to say, it's going to regulate out your period. Just start taking birth control as soon as you even come close to puberty.
But that's also to encourage whorishness. I don't believe in sex education.
Absolutely not, you know? It's none of the school's business, but
no, it's none of the school's
business.
If parents can't do it on their own, that's just too bad, you know. Because you know what? Look, my parents never talked to me about sex, and I figured it out, you know.
Yeah, you figure it. You learn. You learn.
And even if you were to live like by yourself with your parents in the middle of the woods, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, these kids are being drawn to pornography at 5 years old. And with the internet, they get on it. I mean, by the time they're 12 years old, have they not seen just about everything? Most of them have with the, you know.
And actually some really disturbing things, yeah.
When I was younger and it was just pictures that could load, it wasn't – it was definitely accessible to me at an early age, but it wasn't the kind of level of depravity that it's reached this day. Almost a crescendo of sorts of degeneracy and disgusting displays of devolution.
Dehumanizing
exactly.
Acts. Nothing redeeming. There's nothing of value in it. It's just, it's like you're watching a rape.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's sort of, you know, it's how can people, they're so different from the boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom days, you know?
Hmm.
Of the 70s, you know? It was like, wah, 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 wah.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Those porns seem really mild in comparison. I mean, that's one of the things I can't remember where I was just talking about it with somebody recently. Maybe it was, I can't remember. Anyway. I remember a conversation in the show. It doesn't matter. The point I addressed is one of the things I'd like to start doing is trying to stay a little bit ahead of the curve versus looking at, okay, it's easy to go back and let's say, look, the anal agenda. Let's look back and see how that became about, right? But that reality is not going to change. If I get up and go like, yeah, you're being, you know, driven towards anal sex and towards, you know, making the vagina secondary. Because that's already happened. It's done. That program's finished. What we need to look at is what's being pushed now, especially on kids, and it's violence. Violence is really extreme now. You know, it's and also fecal porn. It's you know, look, I'm a guy. You know, I like seeing naked women, and I'm noticing that when I do go try to look at naked women, assuming I do, that kind of shit's creeping in.
Mm-hmm.
The violent porn is coming in.
They're trying to normalize it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I used to frequent such sites, I noticed that they were pushing, this is a couple of years ago, they were pushing trannies, or not trannies, hermaphrodites, chicks with dicks. They were pushing all the kind of the violent things. And for years, even before that, it was all the anal agenda that was going on. But they really have taken it to such a disgusting level of depravity. Something that is beautiful, the naked body, sexual intercourse, it is a beautiful thing, or it can be. And then they took that and just tried to debase it as much as possible.
And that's an important thing for them to do. The power of sex is very transcendental, and it's not like the materialism like they push it. It's and very much tied to like this love and goodness and things like that. And it's part of their agenda to Jewify the world, really, like just to get people in their mindset because they're a religion of death.
When something sneaks in, like one of the things I saw recently, who would put that in there? And well, we kind of have an idea who it might be, but it was one of those things, you know, where they use these like video game programs to create sexual imagery, where it's not real people. It's
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it features a couple of youngish-looking women tied up in a basement with cuts on their legs, chained up. And crying and looking. Who wants to see that? Who whacks off to that crap?
The guy from Videodrome. James Woods. And, you were talking about him recently. It was a truther from Blade Runner who I think she super glued his balls to the side of his leg.
Oh, yeah. Sean.
Sean Young, right?
Sean Young, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that was on Red Ice.
Yeah, well, they want to turn America into the new Khazaria. Khazaria was a multiracial land of savages, which they ruled over. And they want that back. And they're close to it.
That's racist. That's one of those words that really has stopped so many conversations. Yeah, you don't want to be racist. Now, Alex, you heard people using the term racialist, right?
Well, what I hear a lot of people, especially because I think it was being used in a movie or something like that. How many idiots out there go like, "That's racial." Even people that I've known fairly well, I'm like, you know, it gets to the point. At first, you try to correct them, and then you're just like, you know.
But not even being able to speak about race freely or openly is really just to ignore one of the most fundamental aspects of humanity, I think, which is that we are different in many different ways. Yes, we're sure we're similar, but it's telling us not, oh, don't discriminate. To discriminate is actually a very good thing, to discriminate one thing from another. I'm not just speaking about races here. I'm talking about being discriminatory.
Yeah, they do the same thing with men and women, though. That's genderist. So how often do you hear that in not such terms, but in other ways? And soon it'll be, who knows, specious.
Oh, that's being pushed as well. You know, we talk. Oh, yeah, it was the show where I talked about the furry thing. Can't remember what. Shali was asking me about the furries. You know, like the people with the furry sex, and you look at the furry things. It's borderline bestiality, and it's, you know, one step along the way. I thought they were going to back off on that, but I guess they didn't.
Well, you look at Family Guy. You have the family dog bedding chicks left and right.
Yeah.
Sneak it in. That's after the violence, probably.
I mean, I think we're going to see more and more degeneracy. There's no doubt about that. It's just going to keep. Unless we got to focus. I think there's a lost generation or two, and we got to focus on the younger kids if we're going to try to turn things around and try to get them and let them know aware of what somebody's doing to them. Because kids are pretty smart. But I think like your older teenagers now, even your younger teenagers and your people that are already in their 20s, no offense to anyone here, most of them are gone, man. They're just gone.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
There is no recovering them.
But, I mean, if we can keep that, if we can hit that bell curve, I mean, they're just followers anyway. Most people are just followers. So we need to hit that. That's why it's important to be better people as well, because then we can be the leaders or the new aristocracy. Something we want
to
talk about on my show.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Lou? The reason why, before you can criticize others legitimately, you have to be in a position of honor, not dishonor. Okay, so what's your... People want to rise up and do something about it, fix themselves first. That's the number one issue.
Right, because they wouldn't have the ability if they tried at this point.
Yeah, it's not bitching about the New World Order and buying life straws and canned food.
Well, yeah, look what's going on with the younger people involved in this movement that are in the alternative consists most of the alternative media. What are they doing these days? They're rehashing all the crap they were supposed to rehash. You could have just handed them a script and it'd be the same effect. The shooting happened. It already, I'm hearing Manchurian Candidate, MK Ultra, all this other nonsense. It's all going, like, what, they're not contributing.
Wash,
anything.
Rinse, repeat, man.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
I mean, look at the Jews, right? Look how crazy they are. I mean, and look at all the programming bullshit they put these kids through growing up. I mean, is it that hard to think that these things would actually happen? I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. And it's starting to. It's look at the last year. How many mass shootings have there been in the last year? It's been a lot.
I don't have enough info on this new one. I guess I can't say one way or another right now. I'm just saying offhand, it just sounds like
I'm just
either it's
to
either
the
it didn't ha- it's either I believe it either didn't happen or I don't believe in this angle because here we have a few weeks ago what's going on. Paul Joseph Watson is now the MK Ultra expert, and he's on Alex Jones talking about MK Ultra and Monarch mind control and all this crap.
I don't believe in this it didn't happen angle for these things, because if they wouldn't just fake it, they'd actually go do it, because these people want blood. Every book in the Old Testament, there's no beauty, no smiles in that book. There's no, pretty girl smile.
Yeah, but...
It's like murder, kill, death, that every page. There's nothing about beauty or anything like that. That's what it's about, and that's what they want. So I just don't see them faking it when they would actually, get their hands wet or whatever.
What do they have to do? Do they have to do something like this? I mean, they're killing people on a daily basis. Look how many children throughout the world starve on a daily basis to death. I mean, they're killing people in reprehensible manners all throughout the world.
Well, yeah, but they just want to gloat about it. Just be like, oh, yeah, we killed your kids, even if it was by proxy or even if, by, even if they went crazy. It was still them.
1 second. I'm going to get the cigarette. I'll be right back.
But, I mean, that's what they do. Even if it wasn't fake, like, I could see people going crazy. Like, that seems to be where they want to get people, so they'll go out and shoot up kids in the fucking Middle East. They want that mindset. They want their new society.
They're going to set up a story. This is for a reason. It's not quite clear yet, but we'll soon learn what it is. And we'll see if they get away with it or not. You know,
even if they did something like get no guns for everyone who's on meds, that's half the population. And there's still enough around to, you know, do that. But it's enough to make them feel kind of safe. But in the same end, it still keeps the gun culture going and all that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to control guns, all you have to do is control ammunition.
Yeah, it's easy.
And by the way,
that's what
I've
they did
at
Columbine. They took it out all the Walmarts and shit like that.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. You hear about, and I do believe it's true, okay, the American people have got more guns than all of the military and police and everybody. If they lined up everybody, they wouldn't stand a chance against all the people that are armed. But
there's at least as many guns as everyone in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, sorry, I have some things to take care of over here. But Siegfried is calling in, so I'm bringing him on the air. Siegfried, how you doing?
Oh, this is not Siegfried. This is Paul Joseph Watson. I'm rather discouraged, and I heard the Celtic Rebel speaking about my inabilities to understand the MK Ultra being devised here in our world. Is the answer to 1984 is 1776, and I will have you gentlemen know. That I don't know what's called. How you guys doing?
It's pretty good, pretty good.
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I worked. God, the store hours got extended another goddamn hour. So I've been. I just turned on the computer and here you guys are, and great show so far. What I've heard. Yeah, it's a wacky, messed up world we live in, isn't it? Goddamn. God damn. I mean, you guys saying, like, it's my opinion. My opinion has always been that I don't agree with race mixing. I would never practice it, although I do have better luck with non-white girls than white girls. I don't know what that is, what that's about. I guess they've been trained to steer away from the guys, the white guys who look like barbarians or something. I don't know. But anyway,
all women have. if you want to get a lot of pussy, what you want to do is you want to look and talk like a fag.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I learned that one just going to the mall Friday. I went to the mall Friday with my girlfriend, and Jesus Christ, that was a mistake, man. I mean, why do these girls even? Some of them give them attention. They all look like Justin, like a emaciated Justin Bieber. That's what they all look
like. That's what they masturbate to, and that's what they grew up masturbating to. So that's what turns them on.
God, it's just disturbing how, and these, like, and you were saying, like, the 20-somethings are lost. Holy shit, the teenagers are lost too. My God, they all look like emaciated Justin Biebers. That's the best way I could describe them. They all look like, all of them. It's not even an exaggeration at all.
That's bullying, man. You're just a bully.
Hey, man. What? Just leave them alone, man. Let's race mix too while we're at it.
I was in a situation last night where there were a few guys vying for the attentions of a very lovely girl, and out of all the guys, who did she pick? The youngest of the bunch and the gayest of the bunch. And even the youngest looking kind of, you know, I got to admit, I don't think my gaydar is really working anymore with the really young guys anymore. I can't tell because they've been so effeminated that what I would have assumed was gay is just, that's just the way they are.
That's but not right.
Here's this woman. Who did she pick? She picked the guy that looked like he hadn't even like broke his teens yet, but I guess he was actually older than that. And he was a flamer. I thought, well, when I saw her hook up with him, like, are you kidding me? I thought that guy was gay. And the other guys are like, yeah, I thought he was gay too.
Yeah, she probably like took him home and he just cried all night or something.
I've heard that from quite a few women, guys who cry after they come.
What the fuck? Oh my gosh.
Because they feel guilty.
Can't relate.
That's not what TV told me.
Just kind of can't relate to that.
I mean, I was talking to you about this earlier, Greg, off air, where I keep seeing these young guys cry. You know, here I am, there's another guy at the pub the other day sitting there crying in his beer because some girl dumped him. You know, this is becoming regular, guys crying. And the girls are acting like a bunch of, you know, Randy Sailors, and they treat the guys accordingly, you know? Mm-hmm. It's disgusting.
You just don't be that way.
And don't watch Big Bang Theory either.
Oh, God, that show's horrible.
I did
never watched even a minute of it, guys.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah. Please don't.
There aren't too many shows I've actually watched in probably 10 years. Yeah. Get
for those
too damn old.
For those asking, I'll try to post the commercial online somewhere so everybody can have access to it.
I'm sure Shali will rebroad it and it'll get rebroad again here on the Renegade Network. Sure, it'll be a popular, maybe even one of those sponsors that gets in call and requests. Hey, man, can you play that Lenders ad again, man? You know, I was just thinking about how the world was going to be like pop like a zit, man, because the pressure in the atmosphere is squeezing down on the oceans, man. And I was listening to this commercial, man. I cracked a smile, man.
Somewhere in some house tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, there will be two Jews having a conversation on the phone like, hey, guy, you think there's a market out there for a semen stick? A semen stain removal stick? You think there's a market for that? They're like, that's a great idea. Where'd you get that idea?
You know, they'd have to call it like the salty sailor, the salty semen stain remover, right?
I'm sure every mother out there listening is probably familiar with what happens, the process, and how tough those stains are to get out. See, that's how we can tell for all the people who think we're all Jews, there's not a Jew among us, because otherwise they wouldn't just make this stuff up for free. We'd be like, how do we make money on this? The product here.
Exactly. We'd make them pay for the download. We put it on iTunes and charge them a buck for the download. You know?
That's
hey, man, we could get
idea.
A million people buying into that, man. I bet you a million people could if they only knew it was there. They will soon. I got the feeling they will know soon.
Well, I can think of at least five or six people who will definitely be downloading it.
I think it'd be a few more than that.
Some of the chat room says they already did it. The guys from Truth Militia. They're Jews. The Truth Militia Jews beat us to it. You got to act fast.
Well, are we coming up to the end of the show already?
Oy vey!
You want to do Overdrive?
Overdrive? I don't know, Kyle.
Yeah,
you there?
I'm just setting it up now, actually. And just...
Lou or Alex could host this one, yeah?
Yeah, Lou, can you host it? Because I'm actually going to step out for about an hour.
Yeah, sure.
So, Lou, what about those technical difficulties last night? Why you didn't do a show?
Oh, my my headset broke and I had to get another one.
That's lame. That's not true. No.
Boo.
That does happen.
Boo.
I could have used the laptop one, but there's stuff going on here, so I don't know.
They banging on your door? Ooh, cut their shit, man. The fucking cops are going to come over here.
Wait,
talking about that shit, man.
He lives in 1940s New Jersey. Yeah, Greg.
No, he's up in Canada.
Yeah, but the guy you were doing the voice of, it sounded like freaking, young Archie Bunker or something. Hey, what are you doing in there? I was in the war, you know. Lou, don't touch that.
We should have a contest where we pay out $20 to the guy who sticks the most semen stain sticks up his ass. And the sad thing is, there'd be a bunch of people do it, and then somebody would die.
And they would sue the rebel, because the rebel is the devil.
I was reading that happened with some radio station where some woman, they had a, what was it, they had a water thing, who could drink the most water and hold it forever, and she drank so much water, she had, you can actually die from drinking too much water. And the woman, who was a mother of like two or three kids, went home and died.
All right, I need to talk out. Talk to you soon.
Alex, Renegade Broadcasting is not sponsoring that contest you mentioned.
Maybe we can talk to the Intel
Don't
Hub
need
guys
the liability, you know? Hey, did you ever see that, remember when the, what's that with Joe Rogan, that show he did?
Oh, the Donkey Semen Show or whatever?
Yeah, that when people would, like...
Fear Factor.
Fear Factor. Hold on, guys.
Okay, dude, you gotta factor in your fear. You gotta factor in your fear. You gotta eat those earthworms. Eat all the earthworms you can. We'll put this on CBS. It's gonna be great.
They got the twins to drink docking semen on that one episode of Fear Factor.
I thought they pulled that episode.
Yeah, but they still drank the donkey semen and filmed it. Doesn't matter if they actually showed it on air or not.
Who directed that show? I wonder what his name is. We'll find out.
Stein Bergowitz.
Jerry Skline Slimefeld. Something like that. Matt.
And that's why I'm so glad Joe Rogan is on our side to help us fight the New World Order.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, was he karate master or some shit? He's a comedian. Yeah, right? Isn't he supposed to be a
Taekwondo? Yeah, well, the point I was going to make to Joe Rogan when that first Fear Factor first came out, the Tonight Show did something where they had celebrities doing like weird stuff like eating the worm, eating some sort of larvae, and that guy who played Leave It to Beaver, the beaver guy, was on his show, and he didn't bite down onto the worm to kill it, and when he swallowed it, it ate out his stomach, almost killed him.
Oh, I don't say, did it kill him? Are you talking about
almost
the beaver
did.
Or Wally or the dad?
No, the beaver guy, yeah. He
Jerry
screwed
Mathers.
Him up big time. Jerry Mathers, yeah, it screwed
that
him up.
That poor kid probably got so abused and sexually molested during that. I mean, when they were filming that shit.
He did. So.
And they would make little inside jokes. Hey, what was the father's name? I don't remember, but you'd be like, you were a little hard on the beaver last night, weren't you?
Walt Cleaver.
Yeah, Walt Cleaver. Damn, Walt, you were really hard on the beaver. And they're laughing about that, going like, the stupid goy won't get it.
Mm-hmm. Even naming a kid the beaver. Come on.
Yeah.
Just the name in itself, it's like, holy shit, really? Seriously?
Hey, have you guys ever seen bloopers to a TV show? Like, did you ever watch any of that?
like a modern day TV show, like blooper reel, anything like that. Because if you watch those, it's so funny. The cameraman turns the camera around, whips it right around, and sees the producers standing right there. They are the most Jewish looking people on the planet. I am convinced. Besides for the Lubavitch boys, they just seep Judaism out of their being, just looking at them. Like,
oh no, they're not Jewish. They're Italian, like Gerald Celente.
White shoe boys. Gotta watch out for the white shoe boys. Boy, Mr. Watson, you gotta believe me.
Yes, I know, Gerald. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's all MK Ultra.
It's pathetic.
Oh, quick point. Doesn't Joe Rogan do judo?
Yes, he does. He's a judo expert. And he's very close with the Dick House production guys.
I think he's an expert in judo.
I just can't believe there's people who give that guy any credibility whatsoever.
Isn't it about that show back on or no? That, your factor back on again or no?
I don't know. He does his alternative media show, doesn't he? You know, his podcast or whatever the hell it is.
You know what I think it is? It's like it's partly because of the UFC stuff, because he's becoming more famous because of that. And with the Fear Factor stuff and with his appearances on Alex Jones,
and the fact that he's a bottom. He's muscular. That don't forget that. I mean, that's what it is, you know.
Good God. He's like, I don't know. I mean, like, he just, like, people, like, I hear people discussing him, man. Like, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's so interesting, man. Like, talking about DMT and shit, man. And I don't know what the fuck else.
Pretty soon, he's going to be talking about the Jews.
Yeah, he's going to run out of things to talk about.
He's going to be talking about the Jews. You know what the Jews did to, not to me, okay, but to other people. The Jews I've met are gold. They're nice people, and they give me movie roles.
In fact, they have gold in their name, their last name, and around their necks, and then fingers, and everywhere else.
So what happened to Lou? Is Lou doing an overdrive? What's going on?
Yeah, Lou's
going
to be doing it.
But he bailed.
No, I guess he had to, like, get ready to do the show. Somebody's doing hosting it.
I think he's meditating. Okay. He's meditating right now.
He's
Canadian.
Yeah,
Canadian
this one will end, and then he'll call us all back. Right. I get you.
Do you want to do it, Greg?
What's that, the show?
Host it, yeah.
Oh, I haven't hosted one before.
It's your first time?
I have never hosted a show. I've just called in and guessed.
And I think Charlie's listening. He's welcome to join us.
Yeah. Yeah, where is he? We're still on Kyle's feed. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, everybody listening, hold on. We're about to go out here in a minute. There'll be a new show coming. We'll be posted in the chat room, or just refresh your Renegade Broadcasting page that you're connected to, and a new show is coming.
Yeah, I think Lou should be doing it. I'm going to play us out with some music here, all right? Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Two, three, four!